Did you know that kinky wellness is integral to your self-development? Hi, welcome to The Partition, home of kinky wellness, the ultimate destination to explore the integral connection between kinky wellness and your personal development. I'm your host and kinky wellness coach, Dana Shergill, and each Monday I bring on a special guest to dive into specific aspects of kinky wellness. From unconventional practices to thought-provoking conversations, I'm here to break down barriers and redefine the boundaries of wellness and pleasure. Don't forget to join me for my solo shows on Wednesdays, where I explore even further into the multifaceted layers of kinky wellness. So let's strip away the shame and taboo together and have an open conversation about it. Hey, and welcome back. Today, we are joined by pleasure positive intimacy coach, physician's associate, sexual health educator, speaker, and the founder of the Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators podcast, Jordan Daniil. Jordan has been featured in Cosmopolitan and Women's Health magazine, and she is here to help women normalize women's sexual health and to create a safer space for women to be validated. Jordan is a phenomenal woman, and today she will be sharing her expertise on menstrual cycles. So let's jump into it. Hey, and welcome back. And today we are welcoming Jordan Daniil to the show. So welcome, Jordan. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Yeah, today is all about menstrual cycles. And I got to tell you, even just doing a quick kind of review on what we're going to talk about today, there's so much I didn't know.
Menstrual cycles, they're so complex. And I'm so glad that we're going to highlight this because I think that more women or menstruating individuals really need to know this information.
Yeah. So for starters, there's four phases of it. And I'd like you, if you can, take a couple minutes and break each of those down for me.
Absolutely. So when we think of the menstrual cycle, a lot of times we think of when we bleed as the menstrual cycle, but that's not true. There are four phases, like you mentioned. We have the follicular phase, ovulation, luteal phase, and then menstruation, or when you're bleeding. And something I want to highlight is that it really starts when you ovulate. Ovulation is the trigger for menstruation if an egg is not fertilized. So let's kind of back up and go through what all four of those mean. So menstruation, that is when you bleed. That is when your estrogen levels are at the lowest. And what happens is when the egg is not fertilized, that triggers for the progesterone to drop, which causes the menstrual flow to happen. Follicular phase is when a follicle starts growing in the ovary that is being signaled from the brain. The follicle stimulating hormone is signaling to the ovary to produce a follicle, and our estrogen begins to rise through the follicular phase. And then you get to ovulation, which is where the egg is released and potential pregnancy can happen. So again, common misconception is that, you know, you can get pregnant throughout the entire menstrual cycle, which is not true. You can only get pregnant in your fertile window, which is around ovulation, when that egg is available to be fertilized. So at ovulation, testosterone is going to be the highest and your LH also surges. And then after that, you have your luteal phase, which is now when your progesterone hormone surges. And this is where the uterine lining is getting nice and ready for implantation of a potentially fertilized egg. And then in the event that it doesn't get fertilized, it sheds and we start the cycle all over again.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I think that that's cool to know that there is four stages. And even with I've seen little videos about even exercising. I think there was a good one about in the first phase, you're really energetic and then you have to take a break and then you got to take don't pick up the weights. And so women really need to understand that there's different types of activities we should be doing almost during the month.
There is. When you are working out throughout the month, listening to your body and your energy levels is so important. There's two components to this. One is that some of us are going to vary a little bit, so you do need to listen to your own body. But generally, during your follicular phase, this is when you can have a little bit higher intensity workouts. Ovulation is when you have your peak workouts, your HIIT workouts, your most high intensity workouts. And then in your luteal phase, kind of slows down a little bit more like the Pilates, more gentle type exercises. And then with menstruation, very slow exercising. So more of your leisure walks, more of your gentle yoga. And that's one way to kind of work with your cycle so that you're not exerting too much energy and potentially impacting how you overall feel, because you now are exerting more energy than you have to give, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And even with that, it all kind of comes together in what we exercise with and what we eat with. Because I think one of the biggest misconceptions, and at least one, I always say this, is that menstruation is not supposed to be painful. Like in theory, we've kind of like built up, oh, I have such a terrible, bad period. It hurts so much. But from my understanding, it's because there's a lot of things that we do to affect if it's good or if it's going to be easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've normalized period pains. We have normalized problems with menstruation as that this is just what it is to be a woman. And that's not true. Like, it shouldn't hurt when you have intercourse. You shouldn't be having pain when you ovulate. You shouldn't be having pain, significant pain throughout the menstrual cycle. Maybe a little bit of cramping here or there, but you really should not be experiencing a ton of pain. That is an indicator that something may not be totally right. And unfortunately, a lot of times there's a study that shows, or data that shows, for women who have endometriosis, it takes about 8 or more office visits to get a diagnosis. And so often in medicine, women unfortunately are being dismissed. They're being dismissed for their complaints and told that's just what it's supposed to be, when in fact, that's not true.
Yeah, it's not true. And even one of the biggest things that I found out in this quick research is that when you're on birth control, the blood that you have is not real. And it was withdrawal bleeding. Yes, I was shocked. I was like, wait, what? I just learned this. What is that?
Yeah, there are two things that I want to talk about with that. But you're absolutely right in that the withdrawal bleed is not a true menstrual bleed. What happens is that when you're taking birth control and you stop the progesterone, that causes that withdrawal bleed. And it's not a true menstrual cycle because, like I mentioned in the beginning, menstruation truly happens after ovulation occurred and then the egg does not get fertilized and implant. And so you're not having that when you're on birth control. So it's just a withdrawal bleed. The other common thing that a lot of people don't know, and a little backstory about myself, I actually work in fertility. I'm a PA, I'm in medicine, and I work in a fertility office. And one thing that is always a conversation that I'm having with patients is, what day does my cycle start? And first day of full flow is your first day of your menstrual cycle. And so many times you'll hear it from other providers, you'll hear it from online, all over the place. People are like, oh, well, I started spotting. First day of full flow is actually the first day of your menstrual cycle.
That it seems so simple to say, but it's so often overlooked, or maybe someone doesn't notice it. They just see blood and they're like, oh, here we go. This is the start of it. So yeah. And that could throw people off if you get the wrong day. And a lot of that.
100%. Well, yeah. And if you are somebody who's like tracking your cycles to prevent pregnancy or to attempt pregnancy even, and you don't have that cycle day one correctly, you could significantly impact the outcome that you are trying to achieve or not achieve.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, when it comes to menstrual cycles, I feel like what I saw was it was a lot of debunking. Like, that's not true. Even with the women fertile window, we've been kind of programmed, you can get pregnant all the time. And so there's a lot of complications when you're on the pill for like an extended time, that I feel like some things are starting to come up that it might not be working for everyone. And there's a lot of things that we don't talk about, like the fake blood, even the fact that there's four sections of it. So that's really good to break down.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring this up, because I literally just before hopping on this saw an Instagram reel of a lady that was saying that nobody should ever be on birth control. And I want to talk a little bit about that, because birth control does play a significant role for a lot of people. And, you know, if you are somebody who maybe has some hormonal imbalances and there are no other options that are working for you, or if you are somebody who's like, I know that I don't want to get pregnant and birth control is the easiest way for me. I don't feel like I'm responsible enough to monitor my cycles and do all the things to prevent pregnancy. then that is a totally appropriate reason to be on birth control. And birth control is often overprescribed as well. You have long periods instead of figuring out what's causing that, or painful periods instead of figuring out what's causing that. It's like, oh, here's some birth control. Take this. It'll make it all go away. And so I think there's some validity to using birth control a lot. And also a lot of people that don't want to be on it for very valid reasons as well.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And even with the cycles, like, life is hard. And even trying to follow that, I was looking at some of the research of if I was to try to track my own cycle, and yeah, there's a lot of discipline involved that you really need to take accountability for.
Yeah, I'm somebody who does cycle tracking to prevent pregnancy, and I do primarily LH strips, so the ovulation predictor kit strips, but then I also pay attention to my energy, my hormones, my basal body temperature with my watch. And so I'm using all these multiple disciplinary ways to prevent pregnancy, but it also requires, like, hey, if you are choosing to have sex during this window, you need a backup method or pull out or abstinence during your fertile window so that you don't get pregnant if that's not what you're trying to do.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned a little bit about LH strips, and I was wondering, can you go a little bit through those kits and what that is?
Yeah. So the LH strips, the ovulation predictor kit, they are monitoring your LH hormone. And at the beginning, we talked about how LH is the hormone that peaks right before ovulation. So typically that's going to peak about 40 some hours before you actually ovulate. So the ovulation predictor kits are a urine test to see how much LH is in your body. And so that can be a really helpful tool for identifying how close you are to ovulation. The kicker with monitoring ovulation is that sperm lasts for about 5 to 6 days in the reproductive tract. And so if your LH is popping up maybe 1.5 to 2 days beforehand, those 3 days prior, if you had sex, you are potentially, and did not use any backup method in their sperm in the vaginal canal, you are potentially going to get pregnant. And that's where the discipline with that for preventing pregnancy can be pretty challenging.
I think it comes to a lot of writing this stuff down. Being very organized, I think, would be very helpful on that. Do you have any tips on how to stay organized if someone's going into this?
I use my apps. Honestly, I track my apps a lot. So my favorite one, let me take a look here. It's actually, she wrote a book that's really good that talks about all of this information too, but MyFlow is my favorite app for tracking it, and it tracks your symptoms as well. So your cramping, your spotting leading up to the start of your menstrual cycle, tracks your LH surges. I save all of my LH strips so that I can see how dark it was the day prior, so that I can see, is it increasing or what's happening with it. So I found that really helpful for me too.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. Now, I think I do know that there was another company that I briefly saw about temperatures. I think it was called Natural Cycles. And even that concept of using body temperature to see if you can have a baby or not, or whatever the case may be, that is just such cool information to me.
Yeah, Natural Cycles is really cool because it's actually FDA approved for family planning methods. The trick with that is you do have to pay for their particular thermometer, and then you also have to pay for the app, which is something that I personally don't necessarily love. But at the same time, if that's your choice to preventing pregnancy compared to some other options, absolutely is a great way or a great option available. But your temperature, spikes and peaks at the same time. Yeah. It peaks when you ovulate. And so generally you're going to see a temperature rise right after ovulation. So again, the 5 days before that, when you don't have any warning signs, is when you actually would be at risk for conception.
Okay, good to know. Now, there's a lot of kind of discussions around what irregular menstrual cycles can be like, and what is a normal versus non-normal period. So I was wondering if you could go into if there's any type of irregular menstrual cycles, like what does that indicate?
Yeah. So let's talk about what normal is first, and then we'll circle back to what irregular cycles can mean. So a normal cycle is going to be about 3 to 7 days long. And the amount is going to vary individual to individual. And so some people may have lighter cycles, some may have heavier cycles. Things to look out for that are warning signs is if your cycle changes. So if you had really light cycles, now all of a sudden you're having really heavy cycles, that should set off a warning flag that something may not be right. The other vice versa. So if you have really heavy ones and now all of a sudden they're really light, there might be some hormonal things going on there. Now, the average cycle length is going to be about 23 to 35 days. There is some variation there. And you'll see that some as short as 21 days is also considered normal. So about like 21 to 35-ish days. An irregular cycle is generally going to be one that is varying from like 21 to 60 plus days. And a regular cycle, a lot of times, are going to be consistent with some type of ovulatory dysfunction. So PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, is probably one of the most common causes for irregular menstrual cycles. Diminished ovarian reserve, or when like primary ovulatory dysfunction, that would also be a cause for irregular cycles, which you might start to notice even like perimenopause, when your cycles start changing due to your hormones as well, that can cause irregular cycles too.
Yeah. And now when it comes to like heavier periods versus lighter periods, is it like there's nothing to be concerned about if it's super heavy or if it's super light, or maybe that might be something to go talk to someone about?
Yeah. So I would say if you notice a change, go talk to your doctor. But if you have really heavy cycles, that can always be concerning for anemias. And so sometimes that can increase your risk of maybe needing a transfusion or other medical interventions, which I'm talking, you know, kind of worst case scenarios, right? But heavy flows, definitely it can be too heavy and have complications as well.
I think that's good to know. Yeah. Cause I think when we don't have an open conversation around this, if you are someone who has a heavy period, you might think, oh, this is just like how I am. Or maybe you're not aware, oh, this is just a fluke month. And it's something that we really need to take notice of how our body responds to things over time.
Yeah. And I don't think we talk either too much about like fibroids can cause heavy bleeding. And so if you do notice a change, it could be from a fibroid. It could be from some type of, you know, STIs cause irregular bleeding. For some people, they do have like ovulatory bleeding. So when they ovulate, they have a little bit of spotting. Generally going to see that a little bit more with endometriosis. But there are a lot of different things that can cause irregular bleeding as well outside of like a true menstrual cycle.
Mm-hmm. So I have another question in regards to like our flows and things like that. Can our emotions change it? So if we get super stressed, would that be able to delay it and things like that?
Yes. So stress has an impact on our cortisol. And our cortisol has an impact on our hormones. And so stress can absolutely impact our cycles and can delay cycles. For some people, shorten them. It just kind of depends. But absolutely, stress has an impact on that.
Good to know. I feel like when it comes to stress, stress is like the root of all evils when it comes to a lot of healthcare things.
Yeah. I actually work with a doctor at one of the urgent care jobs that I do. And we were talking about how stress really is the foundation of a lot of, problems or medical concerns. And that when our body's under stress, our immune system is decreased. So you're more likely to get some type of infection or some type of immune inflammatory response, which inflammation leads to a variety of different medical conditions. And so stress is a huge thing that we should really look at addressing in our daily life.
Absolutely. And just taking whatever practices you can to just chill and also move your body, because our bodies want to hold on to that. So wonderful. Yeah. Now we've covered so much. I even feel like this short time frame. And I guess the next thing is, are there any key menstrual hygiene tips for this of how to address it?
So menstrual hygiene, as far as like how to manage your period?
I guess like all of it, like I feel like When it came to how I was raised and saw with menstrual cycles, I had a gym teacher who just came in one day and said, I used to grow up with a rag and we just had this rag and that's it. And that was like my sexual education on periods for a good number of years until I got into this. And so I am someone who I can't use tampons actually, because I get, what is it? The shock syndrome. And when I was a teenager, I would get crazy hot, like fever, all of these things just by inserting it briefly. But there was such a stigma around pads, like, oh, pads, this, they're not as clean, they're not as that. So I was really scared to tell people during high school that, like, I can't use those, like, sorry, for medical reasons, even if I wanted to, I just can't.
Yeah. I love how far we've progressed in the US specifically as far as menstrual hygiene options, because growing up, all I knew was tampons and pads, but now we have like discs, we have cups, we have period panties, that you can wear to go swimming in. And there are so many different options out there. You have reusable options, so reusable pads that you wash. I mean, there's so many different options for managing our cycle. And I think that it's really just like finding what works best for you and trying a lot. And there's definitely like some user error. I like the discs personally, but tons of user error with like discs and cups, I think.
A lot of people, I feel like, really like them. I get a lot of positive feedback, I feel, from that.
Yeah, a lot of people I know that use them really like them, and they also can have an impact as far as period pain. So there are some studies or some research that shows that it does reduce cramping when you're using, say, a cup or a disc. Discs are really great too, because you can have sex with them. So great for period sex if you don't really want a mess or want a little bit more contained mess. They're a great option for that too.
I don't think I've actually heard of discs before now talking to you, but I'm definitely going to Google that. Yeah. Are you able to kind of go into a little bit more of that? Because something that you can have sex with as well? No, I don't think I know what discs are.
Yeah. So the discs are a circle, kind of look like a Nuva ring, if you've ever seen a Nuva ring, and they are a flexible disc, and you insert them into the vaginal canal and you kind of just let them hang out up there, similar to a diaphragm, if you're familiar with a diaphragm, and they just collect the menstrual flow. And then that's it. Where the cup like attaches to your cervix, the disc just sits at the vaginal vault and collects the menstrual flow. But particularly the reusable or the disposable ones are a soft plastic, kind of like Saran wrap type, like very thin plastic. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's a plastic, to be honest. It could be some type of other material that has similar texture, but very thin material, so that partners generally don't even feel it either.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to search that, and I'll put a link in the description so people can check that out as well.
Yes.
But when it comes to periods and things like that, do you have any advice on how to prep for it so it can be less painful, whether that's like holistic options or foods or exercise routines somebody might be able to do?
Yeah, there are definitely some different types of supplements that you can do. Magnesium is one that can have an impact. If you are somebody that has pretty painful periods, you can always start pre-treating with ibuprofen ahead of time. So NSAIDs, what those do is they actually help reduce your prostaglandin response. And that's what's causing the cramping, is the prostaglandins. And so ibuprofen is actually really, really great for somebody who has really painful periods. Honestly, sex is another great way. When you're having orgasms, that can also help reduce the pain associated with your cramps and your period. Acupuncture, depending on what type of holistic options you're looking for, acupuncture might be worth trying too, because that is also a really great resource.
Wonderful, wonderful. Acupuncture, I did one of it and it changed my life on just so many things. I felt like the guy could see into my soul. Like, he just kind of held my hand. He looked at my tongue even before we went in and all of these things. And I felt so seen by this guy. I was like, who are you? Like, who are you? So yeah, I definitely promote acupuncture. I think it's great.
I just started doing acupuncture and I've had like my second session now, and I love it. I'm so intrigued and I feel so rested afterwards, because you sit there for like 30 minutes in just total silence. And it's like a forced meditation, which really helps with your stress as well.
You know what? And I think sometimes there's the way our system is structured, being forced into a situation where you have to meditate is okay. It's good. Yeah. I like it. You got to carve that time out somehow.
Exactly. I totally agree.
Wonderful. Now, to swing back just to the four cycles, is there any like activities or things that might be good to do in particular phases versus not do in particular phases?
Yeah. So a book that I highly recommend if you're interested in learning more about this is In the Flow by Elisa Veit. I can send you the link to the email, but she's the same one that did the menstrual cycle app. But depending on what you're looking for as far as like relationships. So if we're going to talk about sex, let's talk about like sex throughout the different phases or intimacy throughout the different phases. So ovulation would be a great time to do something that's maybe on your bucket list. It's a little bit more adventurous, a little bit more, quote, I don't want to say like wild, but something that's just maybe a little bit out of your norm for you. That's going to be the good time for trying something new. Your luteal phase is going to be a really good time for more connection and intimacy and not necessarily like penetrative sex or sexual experiences, but more intimacy. You'll also notice with your cycle that your lubrication varies throughout as well. And so your luteal phase is going to be at the beginning a little bit wetter, and then it dries towards the end of the luteal phase. So lubricants during your luteal phase are going to be really important. Same with during your menstrual cycle, lubricants. During menstruation, this is a really good time to go inward and maybe do some reflection about the type of sex that you're having and the type of sex that you want to be having and reflecting on all of that. But yeah, to give you kind of an idea, like it does vary throughout all of your phases too.
Wonderful. I feel like it's one of those things like with the stretch, the peak, the ovulation, that's like the branch into new things, have an open mind type of around that. But I do like that there's like periodic place, like places where it's like, yes, connection, yes, yourself, reflect. These are things that we can do too. I think women have been pushed to like do it all the time, no matter what. All the time, like even if you're on your menstrual cycle or not.
I mean, we have been kind of forced into, I don't want to say a man's world, but ultimately like operating on the male clock and the male biological hormonal cycle. And that's not what we operate on. You know, men operate on a 24-hour phase. We operate on a 28-day phase, which is our menstrual cycle and also known as the infridian rhythm. And so you're right in that we kind of do it in a way that really isn't best for women.
Yeah. And I do think it's fair. Like, I think it's fair to say that it's not necessarily, it is a man's world in the sense that it was structured just when they were predominantly working. So that makes sense. And we haven't really updated the system as we've gone on.
No, we haven't. And yeah, there are some countries that are starting to allow like, you know, when you're on your menstrual cycle, time away from work, which makes sense, right? Like if you, it's very hard to get anything done when you don't feel your best, when you are tired, you know, energy levels are directly associated with your menstrual cycle. When you start tracking and paying attention to all of these things, like you notice these patterns. And you can plan your work schedule, your relationship, your parenting, when to have hard conversations all around your menstrual cycle.
Wow. Planning to have hard conversations around this. I think that's key. I think that's going to be my biggest takeaway out of this.
Yeah. It's mind blowing. Like I tend to only do podcasts when I'm in my follicular and ovulatory phase because I can hold a conversation, but in my luteal phase, I can't. And luteal phases are great for breaking up with partners. Ovulation is really great for like advocating for yourself, asking for a raise at your job, or having some of those harder conversations that might make you a little bit more uncomfortable.
Wonderful. That's great advice. Now, you did mention infridian rhythm. Infridium, am I saying that right? Yeah. Can you go into that a little bit more? I don't think I've heard that term.
Yeah. So that is the four phases of the menstrual cycle. And the infridian rhythm is the four phases that make up the menstrual cycle.
Wow, that's so easy. That needs to go out way more into all sorts of education places.
Yeah. It's a word that I learned on my own journey with my own menstrual cycle and coming off of birth control and then learning to understand my new body. And it's definitely something that most of us have probably never heard.
Absolutely. Now, is there any other misconceptions about menstrual cycles that you'd just like to clarify? I know we hit a whole bunch today, but I feel like with this, every day there's something new I'm learning, and this is definitely one of them.
Man, I feel like we did kind of cover a bunch of misconceptions about menstrual cycles. Nothing off the top of my head at this moment.
Well, I do have another question. Have you heard of anything about women or people that sync up with the moon versus not syncing
Ooh.
up with the moon?
Yeah,
I'm
this
someone,
is a good one.
yeah. Okay. So I'm someone, I heard that once, I think last year. And ever since then, I have tracked it. And I'm like, holy shit, I do sync up with the fucking moon. What is this? And at first I was like, what's going on? And now I'm obsessed with it. I'm like, that's so cool. I know what's going to happen. There's a full moon.
Yes, I love this. So the full moon that just happened, I started my menstrual cycle on the full moon. And so I felt like super witchy, but there is no validity to how that works. But the moon does have like a 28-day-ish cycle. And so it's not uncommon that you might kind of fall towards bleeding with the moon, whether it's a full moon or a new moon. But then you can also have like where you're bleeding with the waxing moon or the waning moon. And so there's going to be some variation, and you can do a little bit of research as far as like, what does it mean when I'm bleeding with the waxing moon? And kind of looking at there's some theories out there, but it's definitely not scientific by any means and should not be used for planning. But it's not uncommon to see people notice that their cycles do at some point match up with the moon.
Absolutely. And I also think it's just fun. And I'm also all about that, yep. Jazz. So I take it to a heart as well, but also taking into sense, like, if there's been changes, have I been stressed out a lot maybe this month? Did I eat some stuff maybe that my body doesn't necessarily like or does like? So I take that into account as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think something else about like syncing up is with other women. That's also a really common conversation out there. And there is actually no study that proves that we sync up with other women. I will say anecdotally, the women around me tend to sync up with me, or I tend to change to them, but there is no scientific evidence that actually proves that that happens.
Really? I find that interesting because I don't think I've found, I think that's been my case as well, or at least all the women that I know, if there's groups of women, even in classes and in college and universities and workplaces, all of those. So that's interesting that there hasn't actually been a study done around that.
Well, the menstrual cycle is not based on exogenous hormones or like outside factors. It's all based on your internal hormones. And so that being said, that there really shouldn't be any external influence or somebody else's hormones impacting your hormones. But yeah, I worked in an office full of all women, and 90% of the time we are all bleeding kind of right around the same time. This last menstrual cycle, my coworker started 5 days early and I started 2 days late. And I'm like, isn't that interesting? But we started on the same day. And it's just things like that. Like, it happens, but it's probably more coincidental than anything.
Yeah. I think it's got to do with energies. I'm a little bit of an energy girl, and there's got to be something picking up on those like wavelengths that we're not seeing. But that's very interesting. This has been a very, very informative conversation. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's wild. And I think there's just so much to talk about when it comes to periods and menstrual cycles that is overlooked in our education system. And there is so much empowerment that happens when we learn about our own bodies and understanding them.
Absolutely. Now, would you have any advice for someone when it comes to menstrual cycles, just what you wish people would really understand? Maybe there's a common thing that people in your office sees and you're like, nope, that's not true. This is actually the case.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that you can only conceive during your fertile window. I think that's the biggest misconception that's out there. And we're all taught that you can have sex and get pregnant, which, yeah, that's possible. in your 5-day window. It's not all month.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like really hitting it hard. Cause some people, it is kind of nervous, right? Like if you want to have sex, but you don't want to have a pregnancy and you're, that can impact your life forever. So yeah, this is definitely something that we really need to talk about and open the conversation. So I'm really glad that you came onto the show to give us some knowledge on this. So thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah, it's empowering to learn about your body and how your cycle works. And I definitely encourage you, if you are somebody who's menstruating, to track some of these things, track your energy levels, track your symptoms, track all of the changes, because you really start to notice the patterns when you are tracking them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And where can my listeners find you if they want to reach out to you?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Jordan Dinell. You can also find my podcast, Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators, on anywhere that you listen to podcasts at. And I do have another program called Period Power, where we go into this and actually go more in depth about the four phases of the menstrual cycle and understanding what's happening. And so that's something else that you can take a look at as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'll put all the links in the description. And for my listeners, you guys know what to do. And I'll see you on Wednesday. Stay kinky.